NBA basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? The NBA playoffs, or what's left of them, some would say, with all the injuries. It's been really fun to watch. Some of these games have been really, really close. Obviously, very frustrating from a fan that doesn't have a dog in the race. From all the injuries, obviously Phoenix is feeling it right now. I am happy for Chris Paul, no doubt about that. I know a lot of people are herky jerky with him, and I, you know, I'm pretty good at separating things I may not like somebody doing, like being cheap or something like that, going back all the way to college, but I won't input that into how good of a player they are. And so the biggest takeaway from the Suns is definitely a variety of things. I'm not going to sell them short as a team, but I am happy for Chris Paul making it to the finals for the very first time in his career, and obviously close out CP3. Definitely got it done in this game, no doubt about it. The Clippers fought hard, so we're gonna open up the show by talking about this series. Then we'll switch sides to a 2-2 series. After the Bucks went up 2-1, it was looking good for them with Trae Young injured, that ankle freak injury with the referee involved. But then somewhere in the third, right, I think maybe 8-7 minute mark, Giannis goes down, and he seems to be having some issues with his knee that is not going to have him back. I would be shocked if he came back. So in some sense, you know, for this series being that it's 2-2, it does kind of add some intrigue to this one. I think that was already going to be a 6 or 7 game series if both teams were healthy, as it was. But it definitely adds intrigue. Which team has the players that are used to taking over or can take over consistently now for the next few games? So we're going to definitely talk about that in general. Like I said, you know, obviously, let's just say it right now. The Suns, they're probably going to win the championship. Obviously, the way this year's going, though, you know, D-Book could go down. I'm not trying to, you know, put that out in the world. I don't want him to get hurt. But to be honest with you, it is a bit of a buzzkill considering how fun these playoffs were. You know, we had already said, you know, the All-Star stat was kind of weird because there's always a new all-star or two in there, but the all-star stat where the most all-stars ever got hurt in the playoffs and we were only 2 rounds in, it just kept adding. And it's like, it has to be the key players too. You know what I mean? So it is a bit of a buzzkill, no doubt about it, because I was excited that all these new teams were into it. But now you always want to see as close as full strength as you can get. And nobody's 100% healthy this time of year, but it's really, you need your stars to be on the court and playing pretty well, or being healthy, I should say. So it'll be interesting to see what that does to ratings. But you know, if they can push that a game 7 Atlanta, in Milwaukee, I think that'll be an interesting rating regardless, because it is a game 7, you know what I mean? No doubt about it. It'll still draw really well. But, before we get into breaking down the rest of this year, the rest of the series, right? We got one in there with Phoenix, and we'll break that down. But before we get there, if this is your first time listening to this NBA podcast, welcome. It streams live on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope and download the show directly there or listen to the browser if you don't want to. You can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast to listen to this show under Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, PlayerFan, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a whole lot of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, boxing, football, baseball, hockey, everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69.99 a month. Simple pricing. No hidden fees, no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere on any device. They have the cloud DVR available, And right now, if you sign up for the Choice Package, it gives you a free year of HBO Max. That's AT&T TV. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. And, you know, I got to admit, Marshall, I am pretty happy. Like I said, this is starting to turn into a buzzkill from a fan's perspective. But I'll also say if I was a Timberwolves, you know, if my Timberwolves were in this, I wouldn't be given two shits. So Phoenix Suns fans and also the bandwagon fans, I'm sure that jumped on them now. Because, of course, you know, they 2 years ago, they were probably calling them shitty. Now they love them. So kudos to you guys. This is in no way, shape, or form a rip on you. But, you know, when it comes down to it, people aren't going to take this chance. It's going to look like Toronto, but worse, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, because you just don't really see every single round, all four rounds affected by, especially the key, you know, either one or two top players on the team. That's pretty crazy, but that really won't matter. I'm not an asterisk guy. I just know that's going to be the sentiment. But we did talk about this, Marshall, how these new teams this year will add layers of rivalry till next year. Imagine Phoenix and the Lakers in the conference final and how hyped that would be. Or Brooklyn and Milwaukee going back at it. Or Atlanta or whatever. You know what I mean? So I do think no matter what, the development of some of these teams, especially the young ones like Atlanta and Phoenix, will help in the coming years when it comes to those Nets or even the Knicks if they can get some free agents or, of course, the Lakers or whatever. I mean, shit, the Clippers, you know, if they get Kawhi back, they're a team to be reckoned with. You know what I mean? So it is a buzzkill, but I'm just really hoping that – we get a game seven in that other series. That's what I'm really hoping for. And I feel like it may happen. But overall, I'm happy for Chris Paul. What'd you think of the closeout game? Paul really was like, hey, tonight is my night, and I'm going to end this thing with a dagger.
Yeah, I was really surprised it actually went to a game six. I mean, the Suns had put in their work. They got 3-1. I truly thought that they would have wrapped up in game five. I thought we would have maybe had a recap show a few days ago. But the Clippers made the Suns defense look really bad in game five. And that's something the Suns have been pretty good at throughout the whole year consistently. Like, it's not like a Miami Heat from last year team defense or Golden State with like Clay and Iggy, but like, they've been a pretty solid defensive team. And I kept watching and waiting in game five for the Suns to make a run. But Reggie Jackson didn't miss. Morris didn't miss. Paul George didn't miss. The Suns made a few runs, and it was like 6-8, and that was it. Then it was back up to 12 or 14. So I will definitely applaud the Clippers. That's not something I normally ever say. But to lose a top five player in basketball and to make the run they did is tremendous. Like,
to be in this round, close out Utah those last two games is surprising.
Yeah, to be down 25 in a second half home game and you win. Like, I don't know. I think that, and again, I'm not a Paul George guy. I was laughing and joking on Twitter like everyone else was last year with all those different nicknames he got. But you really can't say much. I mean, well, you can. People are going to talk shit because people still talk shit about LeBron, which blows my mind every day about how there's still LeBron haters in this world. And that really without good reason. I mean, even a couple people I work with, why don't you like him? Oh, well, he cries about fouls too much. Or it's like, you know, it's like people for the past 10 years have tried.
You think he had a bunch of domestic disputes or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You'd think he'd be smacking people up at bars and stuff like that. And it's just the opposite.
I know. That Trevor Bauer thing, my God, you want to talk about an athlete to maybe not be a fan of. That was, reports are scary. But anyways, so you're always going to have people who rip on athletes for different reasons. And Paul George probably did deserve some shit last year for how he played, but he definitely stepped up and reminded people this year of like, dude, like I'm a pretty good basketball player. And maybe this was a sign of him and Kawhi don't play the best off each other, or maybe this was a sign of he needs to have his own team. Like, yes. I just think that, and not that I'm going to go on here and say that I don't think Kawhi needs to be on the team, but when you look at what they did with the people they have, it really makes you wonder of like, what direction do you go in moving forward? Now, again, I'm not saying that you got to say, well, F Kawhi, let's trade him. But you had a ton of success. He's a free agent,
too.
Yeah. And that probably made him be like, oh, shit. Like, dude, I get hurt, and now the team looks better than we maybe looked all year. Like, you know, it was kind of just a weird spot. And so if you are a Clippers fan, and before the playoffs started, you're like, well, dude, if Kawhi leaves next year to go to Miami, which I've heard that it's one of the cities mentioned, like, we're effed. Well, you know, maybe if you re-sign Reggie Jackson, keep Paul George and make some moves, like, maybe you're not. It's just so weird, like you said, that of how well they played. Like, they did lose tonight. They lost the series, but you closed out Utah, who was the number one seed, and now you took the number two seed to the almost the brink of elimination. So, yeah, there were positive signs that you can take from it. Also, I forgot that Reggie Jackson, he definitely earned a nice new fat contract. If you're the Clippers, I think it'd be smart to keep him because that guy, at moments, was the best player in this series. And that's a series that included Paul George, Devin Booker, Chris Paul. I mean, Reggie Jackson at times was looking like a dude that I'm not sure who that was. Like, so, yeah. But anyways, enough about the Clippers. Credit to the Suns. I mean, said all year, I thought they've been the most consistent, best team in basketball this year, and they're in the finals. Now, again, injuries do play a part, and you can't control those. So, I mean, there's been some luck on their side. But at the end of the day, you're in the NBA finals, which if you would have said at the start of the year, Suns fans would probably be saying, no, dude, let's just make the playoffs and figure it out. Like, easy, you know. But this really, Chris, all goes back to the bubble last year for a team who many people thought it was a joke they were supposed to even be invited to it because they were a, like, 2% chance of making the play-in spot. And they went 10-0. They almost cashed in, like, a 500-1 ticket to make it because that's how bad their odds were. Or maybe it's 100-1. It was some astronomical number for them to make the playing game, which they almost did. So you built team chemistry. You had one of the smartest NBA free agent moves of the past 20 years of bringing in Chris Paul, which gives you a leader with young stars and a couple of vets. And now you're in the finals and you're probably going to be the favorite. I did know that, and I'll throw this back to you, Chris, that the past week, Miami was, I believe, going to be a slight favorite over the Suns if Giannis was healthy. So, you know.
Milwaukee, you mean?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, Milwaukee was going to be a slight favorite over the Suns, just barely. Obviously, now, though, if that were to play out, we don't think Giannis coming back. That would change a little bit. But, hey, for the Suns, tip of the cap. You've had a very, very good run in the playoffs. Now it's your chance to take care of business in the finals. But yeah, what a hell of a run. Because when we started this podcast, when we were just talking basketball in the offseason, I don't think anyone, even probably most Suns fans, would have said, oh yeah, the Suns are going to the finals this year, man. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd call it a hell of a run, but the idea of backing it up to the end of last year, and even that year and the year before, where a lot of people were down on them, like they're not going anywhere. They got to trade some pieces, blah blah blah. So that way, that resurgence, definitely I give them credit for. But I can't really say a hell of a run in the playoffs, in a sense. You know what I mean? I could say it's solid. They took care of business right here. That's for sure. But I'll tell you what, first I'll go with the Clippers too. You know, all three losses before tonight were by 11 points. Obviously the DeAndre Ayton, you know, freaking dunk. That was crazy. That the pass, actually the dunk wasn't even special. The pass was phenomenal. To see that angle, Marshall, from the backboard angle, that the ball just barely talking like centimeters. That was a great pass. And coaching in Boogie Cousins' combination of that, they should have had that blocked off at least. That doesn't mean you wouldn't have been able to make the pass, but you could see it was open, so that's why he at least took that. But that was a crazy play. But, I mean, three losses, 11 points without Kawhi, you know. They adjusted last game, especially to that zone defense more early. They went with the small lineup again, inserted Morris into it. Like you said, Reggie Jackson. And we talked about Paul George last time, and I text you this too, that when he's a number one guy, it's different. Now, Westbrook, he had an MVP-type year with Westbrook during the season, but Westbrook passes a lot. You know, it's not the same player as Kawhi. So I really think there's something to him not being able to be 100% the second guy because he needs the ball more. And I think it's kind of proven in this series. I don't really think it's taken away from Kawhi, because let's be honest, it was a 2-2 series against Utah with Kawhi. So we can't act like, oh man, you know, they're all of a sudden way better. Well, I mean, you know, was Utah the strongest number one seed in the last 10 years or something, or even last 5 years? No. They were solid, though. They're deep and all that, but they had a little, you know, they didn't necessarily have the right flow. Conley was out, and then, you know, whatever. That's the last series. But something about Paul George in his Indiana game, and I know after that injury, they even talked about the last couple of games that he did have to adjust his game a little bit. But there is something about having the ball in his hand for the most part that he thrives in. And it doesn't seem like those two are a good match together. But then again, remember, it was 2-2 with Kawhi in there. So, and they did get to, you know, they did come down from 2-0 in both of those series, the one before and after. So, I got to say, much like you said, the Lakers were lucky that Chris Paul was hurt those first couple early games, or the second, third, and kind of the fourth. I would say the Suns are pretty lucky, too, that Kawhi wasn't playing, because it's still somebody to defend Booker. It's still so, you know, like I said, I'll go back to, it was 2-2 with him in the lineup. So they were winning with him in the lineup too. They got to this spot with him as well. And I'm talking obviously, you know, the last series, but the Clippers, I mean, kudos to them. They showed me a whole lot, and even seeing Boogie doing some damage, they showed a lot. I mean, obviously, the only thing you could rip Paul George is a couple of missed free throws here. But other than that, dude, you could see he was tired. You could see what he just meant in general. And there's this stat here. Well, even tonight, they made that 10-0 run to get it to 89-82. And then it was 16-3 run. And that pretty much ended the game. But Paul George is the sixth player to have 500 points, 150 rebounds, 100 assists in a single postseason. You know, LeBron's done it 8 times, Larry Bird, Barkley, Duncan, Drexler. But that says postseason, right? We're not even technically, we had another game left in this one. So that's something. And another one that really got me, where was it? Before this game, Paul George had played 251 of the 288 minutes in 6 games, right, since Leonard was out. The Clippers suffer when he's out. They generated 25.7 fewer points and allowed 17 more points per 100 possession when he wasn't on the floor. So that's why I think, you know, if Kawhi was there, that would help, even not playing them together, but like the whole time, you know what I mean, in those situations. But as far as the Suns go, yes. I mean, I kind of was on them earlier in this the preview here. But I'm happy for Chris Paul. Yeah, they definitely, the last year or so, they've really turned it up. And they are a pretty damn good defense, that's for sure. And Ayton, man, he really came alive in these playoffs. Has he been spectacular? No. But he's been damn good, and he's kind of like, his body type kind of fits today's NBA. I'm not trying to say that he's like a stretch big. You know, that's not what I mean by today's NBA. But he's a big dude, but he's not like – he doesn't weigh a lot where he's like super thick. You know what I mean? He's still thin enough, toned enough, where he can get up and down the court and just be into it. And I love how he's gone like, hey, I'm tall. I'm going to go straight up a lot more. And I think his game has really developed. And like you said, the veteran pieces and all that. But I do got to say, you know, much like you mentioned Paul George, you know, the Lakers are lucky Paul George in those few games weren't 100%. The Suns are lucky with this run, though, too, because you have a hampered LeBron and then AD the last 2.5 games out. Then you have Murray, their second best player, out. And then obviously we saw Leonard didn't even play. So I do think they're pretty lucky in this one, too. That's not taking anything away, because I really think next year they're going to have so much confidence that I see them in the conference final regardless, unless, of course, you know, knock on wood, injuries.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, part of me wants to say that I think they could have beat probably – I think they could have beat this Clippers team. I think they could have beat the Nuggets. But I can't that confidently say I think they would have beat a healthy LeBron and a healthy AD. That's the one where I have to be like, oh.
Especially six games. They took up 6 games. And once again, 11 points for 3 losses. Kawhi's got to have something in there that he would do something good in there. You know what I mean?
That is true. I mean, you could counter that by saying I don't think Booker has really found his rhythm with the busted nose. But obviously a broken nose is on the court is less of a negative impact as the guy off the court. But yeah, you're right. I still think the Suns were probably the best team in the league. But there's a reason why Vegas favored the Lakers in the Suns matchup with everyone being healthy on the court. So that is the one where you're right. They did get lucky. I thought that would have been a fun series, even watching people play healthy. But yeah, no, luck has been their side. And I've seen both sides of this. I remember the year where Kyrie.
But we haven't seen this though. We haven't seen this. All 4 series.
No.
One thing though, Chris Paul's had his issues injury-wise, you know, throughout his playoff career. So, you know, we talk about luck. Well, it is about time Chris Paul got some good luck to go his way.
Yeah. And I was going to say, because I've seen, you know, there was a time where Kyrie got hurt in the finals and there was a time where Clay got hurt in the finals. So it does always seem the injuries normally do occur. But yes, the rate they're going at this year, hopefully.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah. And you want to rip the NBA, but you really can't, just because Silver was put in a almost impossible situation where the league had to make their money. The players really, you know, the players weren't going to approach, like, there was literally no way to avoid the shitload of games that they played. Like, yes, obviously looking back now, like, there's been so many players playing and injured due to the schedule they had, which does suck. But I think you'd have to be really naive to blame Silver because, well, shit, COVID happened and we had to get a season in. So
it was a tough scenario.
You really.
They would have lost anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion had they not set up the, you know, it was a tough scenario. Now the whole thing is they're thinking about adding some games with that tournament in this new contract, so it's like that'll be his fault. It's a tough situation. It is tough.
Yeah, it is. But I mean we've had a lot of good drama. It's been a really fun series, but I do think that next year, when you have a more of a regular NBA season, the injury bug shouldn't be what it is again. Hopefully, I mean, this has been bad luck and this has just been a cause and effect.
Especially at the end of the year, you know?
You're
always going to be a little banged up, but this is like, whoa, what the hell?
You know? Which truly goes to show, like, why, and this is just a random side note, but I know that I believe I've heard for sure, like, that Russell Wilson and LeBron both spend $1 million each year on their nutrition with, like, personal chefs. It's like, this is why those guys do that and why those are two of the best athletes in their sport who have been doing it for a long time. Like, obviously, I wish I had the money. I don't. I never will. But you realize why LeBron and Russell Wilson pay $1 million a year to have the probably the most healthiest, best dieting plan you can have. Because you're
it's
in the sport.
All purpose, too. It's the workouts, yeah. too. It's not like they just spent $1 million on their chef.
No. But they're doing it for the longevity, and they're trying to find the best possible way for everything you can control, besides food, things like Trey, which we'll get to very soon. Of like, okay, I need my body to be as healthy as humanly possible, and $1 million is a lot of money to people, and some people probably think that's crazy, but in the situations they're in, the financial reasons they have, like, dude, you got to like. And to give credit to LeBron, the dude has literally almost never been seriously hurt in his whole career. And he's probably played playoff games. His amount of playoff games are probably more than the regular NBA player's career. Actually, it's got to be. Like, you know, so it's just something to be said for the nutrition and all that and being as healthy as you can be and hoping that Lady Luck is on your side. With that said, Lady Luck has not been on the side of the Eastern Conference, because as we just talked about injury in the West, now we're talking about injuries in the East, and these injuries are even more severe, which is really unfortunate, because you could say relatively, Chris, up until the last game from Milwaukee, they've had a pretty damn good run of the injury bug. Like, one of their backup Villanova guards has been hurt. But I mean, really, Milwaukee's had a pretty slate free clean injury bug. And then Giannis ends up landing wrong on his knee and hyperextends it. They had good news today that there was no like ligament or big damage, so that he won't need any like ACL or any CL surgeries, which is obviously great for Milwaukee and great for him, great for everyone. But if you hyperextended your knee, there's no way you're coming back in this series or you'll be back in the finals. So the injury bug hits Milwaukee now. It's hit Atlanta as well. That series is 2-2 because Trae Young got hurt the game prior.
Capella's questionable too.
And it's just, you know, again, no one can't really blame anyone besides COVID. But now, as you said, Chris, this is now a best of three series, and the roles of the players it's very fascinating to me. And I wish I wasn't thinking about this, because I'd much rather be still debating on Giannis versus Trey, but we're not looking at that now. Trey Young maybe plays game five, maybe, but that's not 100% sure with a bone bruise. So Giannis is out. We know that for sure. So I'm going to go on Milwaukee here for a second. I heard an interesting point on ESPN talking about why does it seem that Middleton, Giannis, and Holiday have not all played a great game altogether throughout the whole playoffs? And I didn't really think about that, but after hearing about it and thinking about it today, I'm like, that is kind of true. And maybe either they're offensive game plan does not allow them to really gel together. It's all getting rhythm for a day. Because Giannis does kind of have moments where he goes ISO mode on himself, and part of that's their coaching. And
he's got the ball so much generally, even on the break, you know.
He does. And part of it is the fact that when you can you really say all three are superstars? And obviously the term star now has been coined in many different ways. But you really can't, like, you know, and again, there is an asterisk with all the injuries, but is Middleton and Bledsoe, are they really the superstar guys that can carry the team? I'm not sure. Like, there's, you know, if you think about the big three in Miami, like those guys, and I know that they're different, but there was no way, like Bosch and Wade and LeBron, could they could all.
Well, I don't think Bosch is a superstar, but the other two were.
But there was never really a moment of like having issues offensively as a group. Like it is kind of weird for these three, and you pretty much on a given night will have a night where Bledsoe or Middleton don't have a great offensive night. So I don't know if it's just, again, maybe it's the offense, maybe it's just that Middleton or Bledsoe just can't feed off each other. Holiday. Yeah. So I don't know. It's late.
I'll give you.
And I always get those guys confused because one was the other one last year. But I'll just say the Bucks top two guys now to make it easier. Sounds great. But with that being said, now they both really do have to step up. Like Giannis is out.
Middleton's been stepping up though.
And Middleton really he has played like a superstar.
He's the one who closes the games.
Yeah. He did have a 20-point fourth quarter, which was a lot of fun to watch. I think he hit like 6 threes in the second half. So obviously with that said, how will they, those two, work together now? Because now the guy who normally has the ball in ISO times or in most situations or leads the fast break is now off the court. I will be very interested to see how the offense runs and what Budenholzer comes up with. Because, yes, we have noted many times in this playoffs that, hey, when a star player goes out, that allows role players to step up and sometimes the teams can get on a hot little run, which is completely true. But Giannis is kind of like a LeBron to where the point of that he really holds the ball a ton, just like it took a while for Brooklyn to adapt without Harden. Like Giannis has the ball more so in an offense than a regular team superstar does. So I guess it's just going to be, that's going to be more of a two-person show, because let me ask you this, Chris, and we'll kind of go to Milwaukee and we'll hit on Atlanta obviously too and predict the rest of the series, but what is a name of a player who has really stepped up offensively in the playoffs for the Bucks this year besides Middleton? I mean, I know PJ Tucker plays like a dog on defense, but besides Middleton, who is who is Milwaukee going to look at to help Middleton consistently, aside from the guy I never remember the name of, to like, who's going to be their, who's their third best option, like their best other starter, role player, bench player to help them out? Because those two guys are going to see the best defense they can see. And who do they turn to? Because there's not really been another name that's been helping them out, kind of like you'd expect, like a role player to step up. I haven't really noticed one from the games I've watched them play.
Well, and sometimes when you have whatever we're going to call it, the top three players, you don't have that.
That's fair. You're right.
Lopez, and they needed these type of bruisers. They could score with a lot of people the last couple of years, but they've needed that. I'll say this. In the last 10 games, Holiday has scored 20 points. He's averaging 40% from the three, shooting 48%, 7.4 assists, a block and a steal. I think he's been playing pretty good. And let's remember, he's been having to take a tough defensive, stance most games. As far as the other one, like a third guy, that's a good question. I do think Lopez can be that third guy for some of the games. I do think we'll see more corner threes out of Tucker. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it doesn't scream. I mean, Forbes, is he really going to go off that much? Is he capable of it? Sure. But it's kind of a tough question to answer. I'd have to think about it a little bit more. And of course you love swinging these, questions on me live, but we can't say the problem is they haven't had to. So to say that Lopez can't go for 18 and 11, he can do that. I don't know where PJ Tucker is scoring, but those corner threes can fill in and he could have a 15-point game. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, with Collins, on the other side, Capella, Collins, and Williams, and Bogdanovich. The problem is, who's going to play, are they going to be as great offensively another game without, that's if Trey doesn't come back. And Capella may not be in there too, but Yeah, it's hard to say. It may be just those two and then a role player here and board. The 3, 4, 5, 6, that might be more spread out. I guess I'd answer that question.
That's fair. Well, and we can get to Atlanta, but the reason I guess it really jumped out to me is that almost every like title team or contender team has that one ex role player guy that like you kind of know who it is. Like
Cameron. Well, I mean, in that case, then Tucker and Lopez fit those if you have a big three. I mean, Holiday's had a good series, so we're not talking about when LeBron goes out on the big three. Or when, you know, I mean, we're talking about that, but you can't, the way you just shaped it, you went back to them having it. So I don't know. That's a good question. I want to say some stuff about them before even the injuries, though, and how they've been playing. I think the role players have been filling their roles defensively and played really sound. And the 1-2 punch with Middleton and Giannis, especially Middleton in that closer role, Giannis has even said, hey, dude, I don't care who does better in the fourth quarter. Who I just want to win. So, and I also want to say, before we get on to predicting, Giannis, okay, the last time we spoke, and even the time before, especially in that Philly series, though, or not in the Philly series, but in the Nets series, you know, with Harden out and obviously Kyrie, there was times where we're like, dude, I know it's blasphemy to say, and it's, you know, it's horrible to say, is he a top five player? Because obviously he is, but the way he was getting limited, it started, I brought the question out and I wanted to see what he was going to do. And I wanted to make sure that Giannis has really silenced a lot of stuff. They're all counting to 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I like how the Atlanta team has been doing. The squad, the audience has been counting, you know, him at the free throws, but even free throws, he has really, you know, some, unlike Simmons, he actually said, you know what, I'm going to push through it. And I got to give him a ton of credit, not just for beating the Nets, but just in general for not getting mentally blocked in where he was. Cause he was in a bad place those first two games, dude. It was really like, wow, what is going on, Giannis? We know we've seen a little of this before, but usually it's the whole team, not you. And it's almost like you're afraid to go all the way to the rack. You have, remember he had Harden on him in the post, wouldn't take advantage of it. He's got Blake Griffin standing like 10 feet away from him. Just settle for the 8-footer, whatever. Some of that was getting the ball to him, and they did that. We broke down the stat of how close he was to the hoop when he shot. But yeah. I do want to make sure I get in this segment Giannis a ton of credit, because he could have went down that Simmons role, maybe not that extreme, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, for a while there was like, you're getting a 20-foot run-up start to still get just blocked. It was looking ugly, and I want to say he pulled out of that.
Yeah, and I mean, the Simmons thing has just been a hot mess, and I guess now he's like developing, I'm going to work on my shot more and everything, and they don't want to trade him. Like, that really has become a complete disaster. But, I mean, you know, and I remember, and this goes a while back for him, but I remember he literally didn't go to class at all at LSU. Like, he just, no interest at all. And maybe that's just a sign kind of like, you know, maybe he's laser guy. Who knows? But it is, that, you know, yeah. And not that that's all different. Athletes all go to college, but there was like, literally there were stories of like, he just didn't go at all. You know, maybe he's just not a super, like, obviously he's clearly talented, but he's not a super hard work ethic guy. Like, so, you know, who knows? But what?
Right, and now but we're on like, Giannis. Let's not go to Simmons.
Oh yeah, I know. But yeah, but Giannis actually didn't let that whole thing fall apart when he's like,
and it was looking bad, dude. It was looking
yeah. And then he just, again, has a flukish landing. And maybe that was just the stress on the knee of playing all year. Who knows? But that very unfortunate, because and we talk about like superstars. We like a lot of people like LeBron, you know, and there's obviously LeBron haters. There's really not many Giannis haters at all. Like, that guy is tremendous for the game. He obviously he brings like an international aspect to it, because obviously he's not from here. like it's really, you'd have to really try hard on social media to find people that don't like Giannis and have a pretty valid reason for not liking the guy.
Wait till he wins some championships. He'll find them. He'll find them.
You're right. You're right.
But yeah, let's go to Atlanta. Let's go to Atlanta. But who do you think? I mean, so you think Milwaukee's screwed now because they're not going to be able to score? Is that what you're getting at or what? Because clearly Atlanta has more guys that can score. I mean, Capella might be out too if you're down two starters. The thing I'll say is Collins is a damn good player, but if he's now got to be relied on to be a scorer, we'll see where that goes 100% without Trey driving and dishing. Huerter, whatever, that dude could ball. He's been playing really well, but now they're going to be on him more. Bogdanovich finally kind of broke out, but, you know, good week, good game, bad game with your injury, sometimes you feel a little better, but it does seem like he's still, you know, Gallinari will put up shots, no doubt about it. Obviously, Lou will fill it up, but will these same players be able to replicate, in a sense, that spread team? I mean, they had Capella 15, Lou 21, Bogdanovich 20, Huerter 15, Gallinari 10, Reddish 12. It does seem like they're ready to score more. Let's see if they can carry that over. But is that kind of what you're going with, that you just don't think the Milwaukee will be able to score enough?
I want to, from the X's and O's standpoint, just because God knows what Budenholzer is going to do. I don't know. That guy's got his own coach. I don't believe in him much. But the reason I can't entirely go off that way is because we've literally talked about 12 different role players on the Bucks and Atlanta combined. And one of the biggest trends you always see in NBA playoffs is how much better role players are at home than on the road. Like, we're not going to.
And they got Jeff Teague, dude. You're forgetting Jeff Teague. It's 10 years ago, Atlanta. Okay.
But you notice this, especially with the Nets, like in the Nets play, like the Nets, and I know we're talking about a different team here for a second, but the home and roads for the Nets role player stats were like ridiculous. You know, so and these teams are no different. Like, I bet if you looked at Atlanta's, Atlanta's been a little bit of an exception because they did
actually. Atlanta's been great on the road.
Atlanta can make me shut up. But for in general, Milwaukee as well. Milwaukee, when they played their first two games against the Nets again, they looked like they were about to get walked off the playoffs. But, you know, Brooke Lopez at home, like PJ, I just think that especially if both the stars are out, I think you have to give the edge to the Bucks since they have the two home games instead of the one. Just because role players, there is more of a comfortability in numbers improve at home. And I don't think we'll see another 20 plus point beatdown for game five, just because Milwaukee's backs are against the wall. So my X's and O's side of me says you would have to favor Atlanta just because I think they have an advantage now with Giannis out. But I think that the role players who are now going to be much more emphasized, you have to give the edge to Milwaukee just because they're now at home, which just helps in general. And Milwaukee, they have a pretty good crowd. Like they seem to have a pretty good home crowd advantage too as well. So I've picked two answers, Chris. So this is not really that great of a prediction.
You want to talk about the Nets? You want to talk about Simmons and LSU? Why don't we start talking about, you know, the freaking 1987 Gophers Tennessee college football game while we're at it? Jesus Christ, Ricky Foggy and shit like that. But Holiday has been a guy that's been a stud in the playoffs. So I think he will step up, and I think that I'm not trying to go Chris Paul on it, you know, or not Chris Paul, but Paul George, but sure. Him having the ball again more, as you mentioned, you know, he's going to have the ball a lot more now. And so I think that he'll thrive in that position is what I'm saying. I got Milwaukee, and that was my other point. You made a great point about, you know, the bench and the fact that they got two home games.
So are you saying you think Milwaukee in seven?
Yep. Because I'm sticking with my prediction.
Okay.
I mean, I basically said six or seven, but
sure.
That's if obviously Trey doesn't play. If Trey doesn't play, Atlanta's going to win.
Yeah, because Giannis is 100% out. Trey, I remember a couple of days ago, people were hinting at like he could possibly play game five, but now it seems like the bruise is worse than people initially thought. So
bone bruises are tough, dude. They're funky, man. I remember Covington, when we got Covington in the Butler trade, he got a bone bruise. He never came back in the season. I'm not saying it's that serious, but it was like, whoa, okay, damn. Now, it wasn't the playoffs either, though, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to take – God, I can't take Budenholzer, no. I'm taking Atlanta. I'm taking Lance to win the series.
If Trey doesn't play, you're doing that still, though.
If Trey doesn't play, I will find a way for the Atlanta Hawks to be in the NBA Finals in 2021. You know, I mean, yeah,
who would have called that? Atlanta in Phoenix. I mean, that's great.
I know. And hey, if Bogdanovich is getting a little bit better, like, you know, you can't hurt or can't do everything. And obviously, I mean, Capella, like, he's got to try to – man, you're right. There's so many –
can they make some trades? Can these teams make trades right now just to add someone real quick?
You almost got to wonder, like, what can happen? Like, can we, you know, get a couple of bodies? Like, we need bodies, people. We need bodies. So – but, yeah, no, I can't take Budenholzer. I'll take Atlanta to gut this one out. And I do think that Trey comes back. How healthy he is, who knows? But I mean, part of it is the thrive and the ego and the heart for your team. You know, like Anthony Davis, he tried to come back and did all he could, and he got hurt again. Or hell, I mean, there's so many times where Durant, like Hill.
His career.
Yeah, and Durant came back and he did all he could for the Golden State Warriors, and he lasted like until the third quarter. You know, and again, we talk about how much money these guys make, but. I would say for a good chunk of these guys, like, dude, there's still that inner dog of like, this is my team. I want to win a damn title. Like, there's still that drive that most people have for why they play sports. And those guys have the same drive too. They just happen to be rich, but it's there. And
well, Bill Gates still makes computers. So the Amazon, last time I checked, I can get shit on Amazon. They're not quitting. So
I mean, I'm sure Trae Young's going to probably appear again. Is a 70% Trae Young better than no Trae Young?
Does it hurt the team?
That's,
you know, is he limping and he doesn't hurt the team? Mm. And then all of a sudden he's trying to do his floaters and he can't do the floater. You know what I mean? One real quick before we shut this thing down. We have an error to fix. Somebody messaged me and about Tobias Harris's. You were correct as far as saying he was overpaid, but you were incorrect about how much.
Oh,
he's actually making $35 million, not $27 million. So you are correct, sir. He is overpaid.
35?
At 27, because that is a new max, so that makes sense.
Oh.
At 27, I could think of multiple players that he's just as good as, and that's why I said that. But now if you put it at 35, that does add that he is overpaid, no doubt about it. I wanted to make sure I get that out. And by the way, please no more injuries. Can we just not have any more star injuries? Can we please do that? Oh, my God. I really don't want to see it. Because, like I said, what if Booker goes down, dude? And then you're like, well, who the hell knows who's going to win it now, you know?
Yeah. Jesus. And Tobias Harris is making 35. God, Philly's such a
new
mess.
Max, so it makes sense.
Oh, okay. You're right. Okay. 30
or 31. It's a fairly new max, so. But you were right. It's just you had the numbers wrong. He is overpaid 35.
Okay.
You add freaking $8 million to that contract, it makes me reconsider exactly what you said.
I'm happy I'm not a 76%. All right. So, well, I hope that when we do our new podcast to predict the finals, that there's no more injuries that are on Monday. Yeah, hopefully the Suns like go into a bunch of isolated rooms with padding and comfortable pillows and blankets, and no one gets hurt. Like, let's have them stay how they are, and hopefully no one else gets hurt in the Atlanta-Milwaukee series, because that one's starting to get dicey already again too. So We will be back Monday. We will be predicting the finals with the Suns are locked in. I think it's legit. They could be facing either team.
Yeah.
And now it's clearly, and I was telling Chris before the show, Vegas had Milwaukee as a slight favorite to win the title, even with the Suns how they are now. But obviously with Giannis out, there's no way you can favor Milwaukee if they happen to make the Suns. The Suns are sitting pretty now for Vegas, but again, crazier things have happened. So thanks as always for the support. We truly appreciate it. The boys are out tonight. Have a good 4th of July. Enjoy some warm weather and fun time with your family. The boys are out tonight. Peace.